Hello, good morning, everyone. I think we're up and at it. Good morning. Got Jeff already in the house. Hey, Jeff. Good to see a few of the early birds here. Welcome to Wealth Coffee Chats, folks. Hey, today we're going to talk about a couple of things, death and taxes, but we're not going to talk about death. We're going to talk about taxes and the idea. They say there's two things that are certain in life, death and taxes. Well, you know, death certainly is at this moment in time inevitable for everyone. However, taxes may not be. And, we can minimize or slow them down or delay them. Anyway, that's what we might talk about today in a little while. But before we do, we might say a quick hello to a few of the early birds. Jeff, good to see you, mate. Always awesome to have you here, as always. Alex, all the way from Cairns, good to see you, mate. Morning to you. If you are joining us today from somewhere in the great internet world, then hello, good morning. Hey, awesome, Luke. Take some photos for us, Luke. That property looks amazing. That's such a nice property you got there, man. It'd be great to see some photos and maybe even a little video or something, Luke. If you're up for a bit of the photographs, that'd be awesome, mate. Post them in mentoring for us. Rev it up. That'd be great. Awesome. Good to see you here. Quick intros as we kick off. Jason Witten's my name. If you didn't already know, most of you do though. But welcome to the show. Wealth Coffee Chat, something that we do at around about 10 past 8 each day. I've been doing the Wealth Coffee Chats for a little while now with those who are keen to pop along and hang out and talk about the world of property investing and navigating the longer term plan as an investor. We know it takes a little bit of time and effort, folks, to go the distance. This thing, property investing, sounds fairly simple, and to be honest, it is. However, there's lots of moving pieces that need to come together at the right time for you and I to get our results. And it takes a bit of time, that's for sure. So we chat about it each day. Each day we talk about that, sort out some fear from fact, make sure we don't get delayed or distracted or, scared by the media and their fear and ignorance that they like to portray, you know, those sorts of things. Anyway, that's where we try and keep on track here. So welcome along. If that's you, give us a shout out in the chat. Love to hear from you and where you're from, what you're up to, and let us know what investing is happening for you. But anyway, this morning, we thought we might talk a little bit about the things that all of us are exposed to, all of us, have to deal with over time as property investors. Morning, Brad. Good to see you. Now, just a quick one. There are some, morning, Friedrich. Good to see you. There are a few things right now with the good old Facebook that it's showing up in other places, which is not in the Facebook groups, folks. So just a little heads up. Those who are on right now are probably realizing that. Those who are listening or seeing or maybe finding out in the other Facebook groups, the live is not, Facebook won't let it go live automatically anymore in the Facebook groups, very sadly. So if you are there and you're listening in, it's best to go to the YouTube channel, Positive Real Estate TV or Positive Mentor TV, or the Facebook page, which is Positive Real Estate Facebook page. Anyway, or Jason Witten Facebook page. Anyway, it's confusing. It's complicated. Hopefully you can work it out and we can all get our notifications going again. But anyway, there we go. Hopefully that makes sense. Nintendo, morning. Good to see you. Anyway, let's get on with today's conversation about death and taxes, making sure we can manage this as we go along. And morning, Bunty. Now, get involved in the chat. for you and I as investors, and it's probably for most people, what type of taxes, what type of levies, rates, taxes do we get exposed to as property investors when we're investing, when we're trying to create wealth for our future? You know, what are the taxes? You know, and there's four big main ones that we have, you know, exposure to. And it's not directly because you're an investor in property, but some are property related, some are not. But tell me in the chat, what are the big ones, folks? What are the big four that we can minimize and manage, and sometimes even, you know, have low to no taxes in certain strategies that we get exposure to, or we can navigate as property investors? Yep, we got, there we go. Let's have a look at this. All right. So we got stamp duty, which is a state-based tax, right? A state-based tax, capital gains tax, CGT, CGT. And we've got land tax. Yep, the buggers. Another state-based tax, land tax. Okay. And up here, I'm going to put in income tax. All right, income tax as we go. So they're the four main taxes that as property investors or an investor, you know, these top two, an investor of any type, these other two are more property related that we have some exposure to as we go through our, you know, navigation of building our portfolio and doing something when it comes to creating wealth, creating income, creating a capital, a gain, whatever it might be. Now, how do we minimize those? How do we manage those? How do we maximize money in our pocket and minimize money, giving it away to the government in a very legal, straightforward, proper manner? You know, that's the thing we have to navigate as a crew, as a team. Now, I'm going to talk just quickly about these couple, which are pretty simple. They are state-based at this moment in time. Folks, you know, what are the ways we can minimize stamp duty and land tax, right? So stamp duty, there's two ways to minimize stamp duty in Australia. Now, a small way to minimize stamp duty is, maybe chuck it in the chat. Does anyone know? There's two ways, a small way to minimize stamp duty and a bigger way to minimize stamp duty when it comes to tax. Put that in the chat for me. Yep. Exactly. Yep. Different states. Okay. Different states have different calculations, and sometimes they can be quite significant, maybe $5,000, $8,000 difference in the price of a property from one state to another. So that's pretty significant. You know, that's a lot of money, $5,000 in your pocket, other than giving away. In the past, Luke, we've had off the plan reductions. Certainly, Melbourne used to do an off the plan reduction for stamp duty. At the moment, that's not in play. And the other one, yeah, there you go. Jeff is on it. You can buy the land and you can build something, right? Okay, so if you purchased, and go do this calculation, it's pretty interesting. If you purchased, let's say, I'll just say $1 million house, like brand new, no, not even brand new, just regular purchase straight off the rack, you would pay a certain amount of stamp duty, probably close to $30,000 to $35,000. But if you paid, you know, if you paid $500,000 for the land and then $500,000 to build, well, you would pay significantly less stamp duty. Now, you'd have to pay some interest on the construction timeframe, so you add up the, you know, add up the thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's certainly, if you can build something a bit quicker, you can certainly make a saving in the stamp duty, sometimes in the tens of thousands when you have a look at it. So you can, different states have different calculations, different land building and land tax. You know, folks, how do we save on land tax? Well, at this moment in time, there's two ways to save on land tax. Maybe put them in the chat if you know what they are. How do we save on land tax, folks? Again, you can go to different states, and we suggest that this is part of your strategy as an investor. Different states Well, there's actually three ways to save on land tax. So what are they? Three ways. Different states, folks. What are the other two ways? A little bit more avoid Victoria, damn the devil. Well, it's interesting, Jeff. There's always a balancing, a return to what does Sam call it? I can't remember anyway. A return to the normal. So, you know, let's say bad management, bad political management of Victoria has for the moment restricted and held back property value in Victoria. Okay, it has. All of the other states have gone out ahead of Victoria when it comes to, you know, overall value. But what does that do? Mean reversion. Boom, you're on it, Jeff. I'm glad you're there. Victoria is about to have a mean reversion, a pretty significant mean reversion, folks, over the next 3 years, right? Victoria will, after, you know, Sydney, Brisbane, and Perth have all had their runs, and they're kind of, you know, having a good run. Melbourne, you know, second largest city in Australia, still, you know, fantastic place to live, you know, once you get rid of Dickhead Dan. It's going to have a mean reversion. Anyway, there you go. Rents are up, you know, exactly, Brad. You know, so it's interesting. These things, remember the other day I said, is this forever or is this for now, right? Remember this? Remember the conversation we had? It's just a for now thing. You know, I had an idiot politician and, you know, you got rid of him. Now you got to catch up. That was for then. And now it's not forever. Anyway, different states, like, boom. Nintendo is on it, mate. Different types of properties, right? Type of property, type of prop. You know, and this is where apartments do play a significant part of your future for cash flow, folks. Right? So I like apartments. I like high quality apartments in absolutely cracking locations for two reasons. Number one, I can furnish those apartments and I can get a significant boost very easily in my income, like hugely. One of the ones up in Brisbane I just furnished, you know, I got an extra $600 a week by furnishing my property. Like, folks, a $30,000 furniture package, $600 a week. It's fantastic, unbelievable, right? Okay. It's very difficult to do that with a house in the suburbs, okay? Difficult, not impossible, but it's certainly not as attractive. And the land content, this is where this argument, apartments don't go up in value. Bullshit. Like, it's rubbish. Apartments are easier to oversupply. Apartments are easier to build a bunch of rubbish, okay? And people who don't know what they're doing sometimes end up with rubbish properties, no matter whether it's a house or an apartment. However, land content of an apartment is smaller and that reduces your land tax anyway. So you've got a high value property with a low land content. What does that give you? Low land tax. Anyway, there you go. Good for your cash flow. And last one, but not least, it's the how you buy it, right? So different ownership, right? So if you own it in your personal name, you own it in a company trust structure, you own it in a super, they're all three. You own one, your partner owns one, okay? Now, that's four different ways of owning four properties in one area, one state, and each of those ownership models has a land tax threshold that you might not be crossing, okay? Depends on the calculation. So those ones are pretty straightforward. These ones are a bit more significant in a way, that we need to be able to navigate these things as we go. You know, as we go, this is the interesting thing. As you purchase your properties and you build your portfolio over time, you know, your wealth will increase, right? So your wealth increases. That's your capital wealth over time. So too does your rents. You know, your rents come in here and hopefully, you know, your rents go up nicely as well. And this is your debts. Your debts sort of go down, right? So over time, let's say this is a 30-year period, you know, so this is zero to, you know, 30 years or whatever it might be. You know, in here, this section, you know, is where we have, you know, massive cash flow, you know, massive equity. And this is where, you know, our wealth, you know, becomes pretty significant in this section when we're investing, right? So, however, what happens when we get, you know, massive positive cash flow? What happens when your portfolio's, you know, extra cash flow? What happens when your debts are, you know, 1 million and, you know, your value is, you know, 6 million, right? Okay, if you wanted to unlock some of that stuff, you can certainly use equity and bits and pieces. But if you sold a property or if you had this cash flow coming in, how can you minimize that tax into the future? Because there's a few ways of doing these sorts of things, right? Where can we have this income into the future tax-free? Tell me in the chat. Does anyone know where you can have, with a couple, up to 220? Check with your check with the right people on the exact numbers. This is not exact, but at the moment, it's up to $220,000 income tax free across two people. Anyone know where you can do that? Who knows that? Put that in the chat. And it's often, you know, understanding these things. All right. So, where can we have a tax free future or a tax minimized future or even now? It doesn't have to be. Yeah, exactly. All right. So SMSF. So each of these ownership structures, folks, has an exposure, a tax exposure to different things. Now tell me just quickly. This we need to understand these things. An individual person could be a couple. What can you own that would be capital gains tax free? Yeah, exactly. Where can you get income tax free? Right. So every individual has the tax free component, folks. I think it's up to 18,000 or 19,000, I think, off the top of my head, having a mental blank at the moment. Does anyone know the zero to call it 20,000? 20K or close enough, tax-free. So everyone can earn $20,000 tax-free, right? Then the next portion for income, you can earn up to, at the moment, it's kind of $1.9 million worth of assets in your super. And the income that comes from that those assets, income that comes from those assets up to, that's tax-free as well. Up to about a sort of an 85,000, I think it is. And again, this is all, you know, averages. It's not exact. It's not exact for you, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got like a pretty significant part where you could go tax-free and tax-free income. Now, where's capital gains tax-free? What can you own as an individual and have it capital gains tax-free, folks? Right? Tell me in the chat and I'll finish with this one and I might do some other things during this week because we could flesh this out a little bit. Actually, next week on Monday. What could we do? What can we own as an individual capital gains tax-free? Does anyone know? Your principal place of residence. Your PPR. Boom. Luke, Jeff are on it. Your principal place of residence. No tax, folks. Well, no capital gains tax, which really at the end of the day, if anyone didn't know, there's no such thing as a capital gains tax. It's a capital gains tax calculation, which then you pay income tax on. And yes, Luke, absolutely, your business premises as well, for sure. Jeff, yeah, Jeff. Anyway, look, listen, you'll get us in trouble saying that sort of stuff, Jeff. over here, super. You can own anything. After a certain age, between sort of 60 and 65, depending, at this moment in time, folks, you can have, you know, up to a certain amount, capital gains tax free, CGT free. Okay, CGT free as you go along. Plus the combination, right? There's a combination of things between your principal place of residence, some assets. Like there's a number of opportunities as you go along in this timeline to take some of the assets that you own and maybe transfer them or transform them into other places and spaces which are much more tax effective for the future. So there's some little strategies and thoughts there as we go along. But anyway, there's so much more to dive into on this sort of stuff. I love it. Anyway, there you go. All right, folks, I think we'll call it quits there today. Wealth Coffee Chat done and dusted for today. Thanks for joining. Join us tomorrow for another one. We've got we'll have Finance Fridays tomorrow. The team from Positive Money will be in. Brad will be talking about all things finance, so make sure you dial into that one. And I'll be back on Monday, and we might continue a bit of this how do we keep more of our hard-earned cash than giving it away. Anyway, there you go, folks. Great to have you here. Thanks for hanging out. Good to see you. Cheers, Brad. Cheers, Jeff. Cheers, Luke. Cheers, Nintendo or whoever's there now. Thanks for hanging out. Great to have you here, folks. That's it from me. You guys take care and see you on Monday. I will, but Brad will see you tomorrow. Bye, folks.